When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody on my right. Give us a wave. Everybody here? Oh, I feel like I'm lulled to, you know, it's bedtime. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. What an incredible time of the year. So, what a great series, Pastor Richard. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. This is installment 2 of a 3-part series. Pastor Richard kicked us off last week of this series called Come to Worship. And that's what you guys have done this morning, haven't you? You've come to worship God. And today I've got the privilege of preaching the second part. And really, these 3 parts are about the 3 different postures of worship. First, last week, we had the carry the TV, you know, lift your hands, you know, remember that? Pastor Richard got his boogie on and he showed us different postures of lifting our hands, bit of a Zumba lessons there. And today I've got the privilege of bringing the second part, which is bring your gifts. All right, so before we get into that, let me pray and get us all in the right frame of mind. Father, we thank you. Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you. We are here today to bring our gifts. We love you so much, and we ask, God, that as we open this passage of Scripture this morning, that you will speak to us, that you will give us a word that is relevant to us, a word that would be able to transform our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Lord, we love you. We love your word. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say, who loves Christmas? Hey, man, I know that judging by Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, I think all of you love Christmas. You know, Christmas is one of those times of the year where virtually the entire world, and I'm sure in Mars they celebrate Christmas too, but if there were humans in Mars, they would celebrate Christmas. And it's almost like society kind of stops. You know, everyone looks at their bank statements and they go, ooh, this is the season where I need to go out and get myself some gifts. You know, the thing is that a gift is just a symbol, right? How many of us know that if someone just gives you gifts but they don't really love you or care for you, that really doesn't mean much to you, right? So we wanted to, in the EU household, we wanted to really show our kids. We've got 2 boys, Rita and I. We have 2 boys, Elias and Levi. Elias is 9, he's almost 10, almost a, you know, tween. So help me God. And we've got a 7-year-old, almost 8. And, you know, the thing is that it's really important to set our kids up for those parents in the house as young as we possibly can with the significant understanding of key things in life. And Christmas is one of those things that we really wanted to teach them, you know, that Christmas is not just about receiving and giving gifts. And also, what's the meaning behind the gift? So, Rita started a tradition this year. She said, let's do Secret Santa. I was like, well, that's great, but, you know, there's only 4 of us. It's not very secret, you know. Pick a name out of a hat and all that. But anyway, we went with that. And so, Elias picked Rita. Don't tell anyone. And so Elias, like, Dad, can you help me pick a gift for Mom? I'm like, sure. You know, we made an appointment. You know, we sat down. We looked. We got the laptop out and we did some research. And we went on the usual, you know, Kmart, the warehouse, and you know, a few other fancy stores. And you see, the thing is that there was a dollar limit. There was a $5 limit because we wanted our kids to be able to pay from their own, you know, their own piggy bank. You know, there's coins, rather than notes. So we looked online and we did some research. I said, Elias, what do you want to look for? What should I type into the search? And he goes, let me do it, Dad. So he pushed me aside and he sat on my laptop. He starts typing. And looked at a dollar limit. You know, some of these search functions are really good. You can and do gives $5 and less between 10 and 20 and all that. So we did that. And then a number of different options came up. And we clicked on a few of them. And we had a little bit of a man-to-man, heart-to-heart conversation. You know, like, what do you think? Do you think Mom would like that? And he's like, yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I don't think Mom quite likes this type of thing or that color. And we had quite a thorough conversation. So after a little while, you know, as men, our attention span's not very long. So 5 minutes is a long time. So after about 5 minutes, we came to a decision, and we're very, very excited. And I said, there was about 7:30, almost 8, and it's almost bedtime. He goes, let's go, Dad, let's go. Let's go to Kmart, and let's buy something for Mom. I'm like, you know, it's almost bedtime, school tomorrow. So we had a man date the next evening. I came home a bit earlier, and we went to Kmart. Dropped Rita and Levi at the warehouse so we wouldn't see each other, you know. So so we walked around a little bit and we found the corner where the selected gift was located. So then he picked up the book and he's like, thumbed through it and he said, I'm not sure if Mom actually would like this. And I said, okay, well, you know, there's lots of options. So he picked another one, looked at it and he goes, yeah, do you think Mom really likes this? And I said, well, son, it is your choice. But, you know, my humble opinion is this. And he goes, yeah, you're right, Dad. And then he goes, let's have a walk around. So we walked around a little bit. And then after another 5 minutes, we came back to the same corner. And he goes, you know what, Dad, let's just get that one. Okay. And he goes, all right, Dad, so I'm going to pay with my own coins. So he had five coins in his pocket. So we got to the checkout. I don't even know how to pay with coins nowadays. So we had to figure out the checkout. Like, how do you, you know, pay wave and all that. So we worked that out, got the gift, went home, and he goes, Dad, I need to wrap the gifts today, you know, before bedtime. So we did that. We said, Rita and Levi, can you guys go upstairs? And we were downstairs and we were doing our thing. So we wrapped the gifts, and before we actually wrapped it up, he goes, you know what? It's pretty obvious the shape of that gift. You know, can we somehow like disguise it? So I was like thinking, So we got this gift bag, right? And then we folded it into a square shape, and it was actually a book. Don't tell Rita. It was a book, and so we put it in there, and we wrapped it up, and it looked square. So it's like, yay, she's not going to know. It's a book. So about 2 days ago, he goes, Dad, can I let Mom open her gift today? You know, I'm really excited for her to see it. And I was like, well, why did you ask Mom, you know? Because otherwise, on Christmas Day, she wouldn't have any gifts to open. Then next thing I know, like, he goes, Mom loves the book. And it's not even Christmas yet. You know, the more personalized the gift is, the more it means. How many of us agree with that? The more thought that goes into it. It's not really the dollar value. And obviously, you know, jewelry and very expensive gadgets and all that are welcome. But the thought is really what counts. You know, and today we're going to learn a little bit about the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift that you and I can present to our God. And I just want to set the scene a little bit for the scripture that we just heard. Because the scripture talked about some wise men, some magi that came and saw Jesus and brought their gifts. But leading up to this, let's just recap a little bit. Jesus's parents, Joseph and Mary, they were engaged to be married, but God had his other plan, and he presented Mary with a child before Joseph and Mary had been together. And now, back in those days, even today it's a no-no, but these two weren't married, and Mary was with child. And so it was a big deal in that society, in that family. And what had happened was Mary was very pregnant, and there was a census done at that time of the year. And Joseph, they were living in Nazareth at the time, Joseph, Jesus' father, had to go back to his hometown of Bethlehem in Judea to register himself, because back then this is how you count how many people lives in different parts of the society and all that. So they made the big trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem in Judea. And when they got there, contractions started happening. You know, Mary's like, I think it's about to come. You know, call the midwife. I know Karina loves that. And all the other moms in the house. When the contractions start, there's no like handbrake you can pull. It happens. So Mary gave birth to a child. And as we know, or as you've heard in stories, they tried to look for a place to check in, but none of the hotels or the motels had space. So they ended up giving birth to baby Jesus in a stable. And you see all these Christmas cards and art that shows Jesus in a manger. Now, the thing, what happened after that was on day 8, as is customary in that tradition, in Jewish custom, the baby is circumcised on day 8. So after 8 days, Jesus was circumcised. And about the second month of his life, he was brought to Jerusalem, from Bethlehem in Judea to Jerusalem. It's not very far on the map, to be presented in the temple, to be, you know, how we dedicate babies here in this church, we pray for them. So baby Jesus was dedicated at the temple. And the Bible has a real amazing account about a guy called Simeon looking at Jesus and all of that, separate story. But after that, after Jesus was presented at the temple, they went back to Bethlehem, to a house. They somehow found themselves a house to rent, and they stayed in Bethlehem. And here we pick up the story. So it says that Magi visited Jesus. Now, the word Magi is where the word magic comes from, or magician. So the word Magi referred to wise men or diviners or sorcerers or experts in astrology back in those days. These are the people that kings and important people will consult and go, can you do your magic? Can you read the stars? Can you tell us more about what's going on in society and the world back in those days? So it says that Magi's came from the East. Not from Malaysia, not from China, but from the East. And back then, the East referred to sort of Persia and Babylon, that sort of region. It says these Magi came from the East. And interestingly, if you've ever looked at Christmas cards, there's always three. Let me just tell you today and demystify that. There's not three. It says Magi, plural. Not, it didn't say three Magi, it said Magi, plural. And you know why, just a side comment, you know why people think it's three? Because at the end of that verse, in verse 11, it says this, the gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So three different types of gifts. Doesn't mean that one gave each gift, right? So just to clarify that. So Magi came from the East. And the thing is that this trip, it's said to be over 1,000 kilometers on foot, making it a journey of over 40 days. That's a long journey. That's a long journey. You know, I mean, going to Kmart is a long journey. Over 1,000 kilometers. And you have to remember that these people weren't Jews. These Magi were so-called pagan. They weren't God's chosen people. So they showed up at Jerusalem, right? These Magi, with you can imagine a big entourage. I mean, they're very important people. They got camels and, you know, vehicles and carts and, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Who knows how many? I mean, you know, pictures show like little wrapped gifts with ribbons on it. But I mean, I'm telling you, it could be like bull carts worth of gold, right? So a big entrance into Jerusalem. And it says that they asked, where is this king of the Jews? You know, they went around town going, hey, to the Jewish people, right? Where is the king of the Jews? Now, at the time, there was a guy called Herod that he was actually in the position called, on his office door, it says King of the Jews, right? So if you go to the Spark building, you look for the CEO of a Spark, you look for the you know. So imagine these guys coming from the East and they rock on in and they're walking down Queen Street and go, where's the King of the Jews? You would think that people naturally would go, oh, over there, that tower on level 28, knock on the door, it says King of the Jews. That's Herod. So they brought them to Herod, and they said the same thing. Where is the King of the Jews? And Herod's like, can you imagine? He goes, of course, it's me. Thank you for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Put it in that corner because I've got heaps of other gifts, right? That would be Herod's natural reaction, right? But it says, Herod was said to them, I don't know who the King of the Jews is. It didn't say how he arrived at that conclusion, that they were not looking for him. But there must have been some interactions where they said, nah, it's not you. It's a baby. We're looking for a baby. There was a star that came up, and the star came around the horizon, and it led us to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem. And so Herod called all his research guys, all his top smart people in the company. He goes, guys, let's have a meeting. What are these guys talking about? They're asking for the King of the Jews, and that's me. But they're looking for a baby. And so these guys started Googling and found out on, you know, scripture in history, in the Jewish tradition, there's a scripture that says that this King of the Jew will be born in Bethlehem in Judea. Wow. So can you imagine the indignation that Herod would have felt? Man, you come into my office, you look for the King of the Jews. Basically, you're asking for me to be kicked out, for this baby to take my position. Can you imagine that scene? Pretty tense and awkward. Now, Herod said to them, well, my research guys tell me on good reputation that the King of the Jews, that baby you're looking for, it's in Bethlehem. Go look for the baby. And by the way, when you find the baby, come tell me, because I'm gonna, right? So he sent them off, and the entourage, you know, went along. Not very far. I think it's kilometers away, not thousands. So kilometers away from Jerusalem. Went to Bethlehem in Judea. And it says that a star led them to a house. And this is where we pick up the 4 points I'd like to highlight to us today. Now, the thing is that this star was pretty cool. And these magi, remember, they're expert astrology people, and they know about stars. And then they see the star that moves like this. Not just a shooting star. It moves at all kinds of random, weird directions, and then it moves and it guides. And so it says right here, when it rose and went before them until it came and rested over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So this phrase that I'd like to highlight here is rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Don't you think some of those words are a little bit redundant? Right? Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So let me unpack that. What does rejoice mean? For some of us who are a bit staunch, rejoice is like. For others, it would be like, choice, hey, choice. Others would be like, choice, bro. Galinga. Oh, cool. For others, rejoice would be like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, they scored a try. Now, what does rejoice exceedingly mean? Oh, wow. Let me take the extreme example. So if, like, woo is rejoiced, then woo is rejoice exceedingly. Now, what does rejoice exceedingly with great joy mean? Oh, are you guys ready? No, I'll spare you. You got great imagination, some creative people here. You know, the thing is that sometimes for us, when we're happy, when we're rejoicing, you kind of have to inform your face. Text your face. Hey, face. look happy. You know, why were these people so happy? Well, they must have heard the reputation of this baby. Like, I don't know how many of you have ever rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when you saw a little baby. Actually, well, Jesus was supposed to have been about between 1 and 2 years old at that time. He was no longer a baby. He wasn't in a manger when they found him. He was in a house. You see there's so much misinformation about Christmas. And hopefully today we learn something in this morning. So the Magi came to a house following a star that moved randomly and stopped. And clearly, they must have heard so much about this Savior, this Messiah. And these weren't Jewish people. These were non-Jews. They were not the selected people of God. But for some reason, they knew the significance of this moment in history. And you know what? It wasn't the chosen people of God that was recorded as having seen Jesus first. It was non-believers. And they took a journey of over 1,000 kilometers to come see Jesus. You know, each morning when we have our quiet times, each day when we pray to Jesus, we don't have to travel thousands of kilometers. We don't have to even change out of our PJs, you know. Do we rejoice exceedingly with great joy? Maybe sometimes we've lost the awe of who this Jesus is. Maybe sometimes we've forgotten who Jesus represents and what he has done for us. Sometimes maybe the luster and the moment of the season and the financial pressure of having to buy gifts, the celebrations that we are preparing for, the parties and the food that we have to cook. Maybe all of these things make us forget why we celebrate this season of Christmas. Will we, friends, rejoice like these Magi? Now, the second part here says this. Going into the house, they saw the child and Mary, with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped. That's the posture. That's the posture. It didn't say they knelt down. It didn't say they took a stool. It didn't say they set up some altars with some nice cushions. It says they fell down. They fell down. They fell down and worshipped. Now, they didn't have Hillsong or Bethel or Every Nation music, but they fell down. Baby Jesus. Infant Jesus, actually, between 1 and 2. Maybe he was playing with his trucks. They fell down and worshipped. I don't know how many they represented. 3, 10, 20. They all fell down. It was a reaction. It was a reaction. I don't think it was a planned thing. Okay, guys, when we go in, on the count of 3, Jesus, all right? 1, 2, 3, no. You know, after 3, on 3, yeah. It wasn't planned. They fell down. When you see something, when someone spooks you from the back, you go, it's a reaction. When you see Jesus, when we see Jesus, my friends, will we have that sense of, when he went on the cross, the veil was torn, and we have direct access to our Heavenly Father through Jesus, that he hears every word that you say, that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, that Jesus grew up from a baby to a toddler to age 33, knowing that his entire life's purpose, he lived to die for you and for me. Worship. You know, sometimes maybe we are not looking for Jesus. Maybe we're quite happy where we are and completely fine with that. It's a natural reaction living in first world New Zealand. Hashtag first world problems. You know, my iPhone's a bit old. I don't have the latest laptop or drone. My job's not so good. I'm looking for a promotion. First world problems has distracted us, kept us away from delving deep to understand who you are. If you're a Christian here today, you are a child of God the Father. You are co-heir of Jesus. He is your brother by the Spirit. That sense of incredible unworthiness. I am not worthy of being called a child of God. I am not worthy to be in the presence of God. Will we fall down and worship? You know, this season of Christmas, some of us will have some time off. Even at the public holidays, 1 or 2 days. I exhort you, friends, family. I exhort you, won't you take a moment, maybe more than a moment, to remember who Jesus is. And if you don't know this Jesus we speak of, won't you take a moment to find out who this Jesus is? That thousands of years, people have sacrificed their lives to believe in Jesus. That the same Bible has not changed for thousands of years. Billions of people believe in this Jesus, and they can't all be lunatics. That this Jesus came here to reconcile you with our Maker. Would you take the time this season of Christmas to reflect and to worship our King? The third thing here, so they worship. Some of them may have injured themselves because they fell down and worshiped. And then the next thing it says, then, opening their treasures. Notice the sequence. You fall down and worship, and then you open your treasures. Now, a treasure to me means something that is more than just a gift, right? A gift could be just from the discount bin in Kmart, but a treasure is something that you really, like, you, man, wow, that means so much to me. You know, have we all have things that we value so much? You know, the most incredible gaming machine that you've built with your own hands that can smoke any other machine. You know, that's your treasure. The car that you just bought. The sound system you've installed in your car. What is your treasure? These people have traveled thousands of kilometers and brought their treasures, and it says opening their treasures. So when you open something, it suggests that it would have been closed and wrapped at some stage. Why do you wrap gifts? I think perhaps we wrap gifts to add the element of surprise, yes. But I would suggest as well that we would wrap something because it means something to us. That is valuable, that you take the extra time rather than just go buy a box of jewelry to go, there you go. You should be happy I bought you something. Is that how we should give our gifts? You can't even be bothered to wrap it? Some of us, our conviction has fallen. You know, when you wrap something, you take care. So it says they open their treasure. Now, whether it was a massive cart with a door, they opened their treasure, or whether it was a little box or whatever, I don't know. But it says they opened their treasure, which suggests that they took the time, they took the care to wrap their treasure in the first place. And imagine the sense of anticipation. Wow. You know, Mary might be sitting there going, oh, yeah, open it, open it. And then Jesus, I don't know how much his attention span was as a 1 or 2 year old, but maybe he was running around. Who knows? Maybe he was looking, but The sense of anticipation. As someone opens a box or something and you're ready to receive it, you're like, what's in there? The sense of anticipation. So when we come to God, do we have that sense of anticipation? Do we have the sense of excitement? Do we have the sense of expectation when we come to Jesus, when we come to Him in prayer, when we come to Him in worship, when we come to Him, is it just a list of you must do this for me and this for me and this for me in 2018? Otherwise, I'm not going to church. I will not tithe. I will not serve. I've been there. You know, I've been there. You know, do you think God needs anything? Why would you bring treasures to God? Why would you bring the most important thing that you treasure to God? He has no needs whatsoever. It's the attitude that He is looking for. It's the attitude of humility. It's the attitude of worship. It's the attitude of going, the most important thing in my life, whether it be your ambitions, your dreams, your goals, that treasure, I'm bringing it to you, Lord, because you mean more to me than my dreams. You mean more to me than my goals. You mean more to me than success. You mean more to me than love from humans, because you have given me the ultimate love. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Will you bring your treasure? Will you open your treasure? Will you trust Him with the unanswered questions in your life? And the fourth phrase here, after they opened their treasure, they offered Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The word offered is used in the ESV. The word presented is used in the NIV. And these two words come from one Greek word called prospero. Everybody say prospero. Sounds like a Christmas carol that we know. Prospero. Now, prospero means to present. It means to present. You know, for the chefs in the house, presentation matters. You don't just slop food on and go, there you go, right? So when you open your gifts, the next step is to present. And now when we present something to God, what is our attitude? Do we come to Him demanding that, here's my dream, take it? Or, Lord, I worship You. Here's my treasure. I present it to You. Hoping that He would receive the pennies that we have to offer. You know, what we have to offer Him actually, it's just pennies in relation to the grandeur and the majesty of Jesus. But you know, the thing is, Jesus doesn't care what He wants. He died for those pennies. He died for us. We do not have to earn favor with God. Will we present, will we prospero to Him? It's not a casual thing. It requires humility to present. And as I said earlier in the sermon, the more personalized a gift is, the more value it carries. What could be more personal than to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, or in view of His mercies, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. You know, if you're taking notes or you've fallen asleep, now's the time to wake up. Because this is the one point. The ultimate gift we can give is the gift of ourselves. All of it. All of it. All of it. You know, yes, it takes time to trust God. So I'll give him a little bit and see how he does with that. Give God a test. Eh? I'll just test God, see if he's good enough, right? Oh, he's pretty good. I'll give more. You know, I want to encourage you. Personal experience. I've been through a lot of rubbish in my life. A lot of people have let me down. A lot of Christians have done things that they shouldn't have done. I've been through bad things. But you know what? The only person that is fully trustworthy is Jesus. When we give of ourselves, that includes our talents, it includes our gifts, it includes our finances, it includes our time. You know, if you're struggling with giving your time because you're too busy, maybe now's the time to consider that or reconsider that. If you don't believe in tithing, then do some studies on it. Or maybe before you do some studies, fall down and worship God and consider what treasure you can give him of value. If you struggle to trust, maybe that's the treasure that you can give God. That I'm going to take a risk because I don't really know. But God, I'm going to trust you. This Christmas, that's the treasure I can give to you. I can present to you my trust. Some of us are struggling with issues of anger. Some of us are struggling with issues of jealousy, greed. Some of us are offended. You know, present your offense to God. Present your struggles to God. Prospero with the attitude of humility. As the band leads us in a song, I want all of us to take this moment to worship God, to prospero to him, between you and God, to worship our King.